Browns fans, don't miss A Legacy Unleashed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, celebrating the greatest and most iconic moments in franchise history. For a limited time, now through April 21st, fans can immerse themselves in the Browns' rich history and get up close and personal with legends like Ozzie Newsome, Josh Cribbs, Bernie Kosar, Eric Metcalf, and many others. A Legacy Unleashed for a limited time at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get your tickets at profootballhof.com today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Friday. Dan Lobby and Mary Kay Cabot with you. We're doing a Hey Mary Kay edition of the podcast today. Questions from our Football Insider subscribers. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page to get involved with that. Let's get started here. This is something we touched on Thursday's podcast, but this question comes from Paul in Cuyahoga Falls. Hey Mary Kay, we keep hearing that contract extensions for Kevin and AB are forthcoming, yet here we are and neither have been announced. Are you surprised by this?
Not really surprised, because they've had so much league business going on to this point. They had to get through a number of things, including all of the awards at the NFL Honors Show. And then you move into the combine right away after that. And then you move into free agency. So they're still in the thick of all of that. Maybe they'll do something when we're down at the NFL annual meeting. Maybe it'll be right when we get home from there. Maybe it'll be today at 4 o'clock. We're taping this at around 1:30 or so. Maybe it'll happen today. But one way or another, those two guys are going to get their extensions. They deserve them. And I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I was a little nervous to start with this because I'm like, we're going to record this and then I'm going to be ready to hit publish on it and we're going to get news that they signed extensions. But hey, you only live once. So we're going to live on the edge here leading with this question. There's always the part of me that wants to play devil's advocate on this stuff and kind of say, well, maybe you shouldn't extend them. Or, you know, Kevin's been to the playoffs twice. He's only won one playoff game. I still can't, like, I can't even muster that up. It makes too much sense to re-sign these guys. And I think stability has been really good for this organization. Like, these guys haven't been perfect. Nobody is. And, you know, we don't know if they can get this team to a Super Bowl or not, but we've seen what 4 years of stability at GM and coach, and even, you know, for the most part, at least on the offensive side until this year, the coaching staff. Now they've shaken up both sides of the ball since, but we've seen what stability can bring to the organization. And I mean, I always joke around with you, like, hey, we're kind of covering a normal football team now. This must be what it's been like in the other 31 markets sometimes. So that stability just means a lot to actually building something real here.
Well, you're so very right about that. And it's funny, Dan, because as I was preparing to write a just-in-case Kevin and Andrew extension story, which I keep dragging my feet on, and I talked about that on yesterday's pod, I actually have a few paragraphs in there right now, maybe three or four graphs, not enough to feel comfortable about. But as I was going back and looking at things, I went back to Dee and Jimmy's press conference from the Greenbrier in the summer, and boy, was the tone entirely different than what it is now. It was very much a, why did you keep Kevin? Why'd you keep him? They just missed back-to-back playoffs. And it was very much of, are these guys on the hot seat? Are you going to have to blow it up? It was unbelievable to go back and look. If you get a chance, go back and look at that press conference, read it over again, and then see where we are now with these guys taking this team to the playoffs with four different quarterbacks, losing Nick Chubb, losing Deshaun Watson, holding it all together, Kevin winning NFL Coach of the Year. It's just a completely different vibe. So I do think the extensions are forthcoming, but the 180 from August is incredible.
There was very much a like prove it feel, especially for Kevin, I think, coming into this year. And whether that was real or not, I know I kind of wondered if this would be like a, hey, you've got to go do something. You'd have a full season of Deshaun, all of that. But it ended up working out that Deshaun's injuries almost helped Kevin because he kind of got to show what he was able to do as a coach without, you know, losing your franchise quarterback and then taking this team to the playoffs was impressive. And I feel like he's grown a lot too since he's gotten here. I thought there were things this year that he did differently, kind of understanding, you know, we know Kevin is a very aggressive coach, right? He loves to go for it on fourth downs. That's the analytics mindset. But there were times when like PJ Walker was the quarterback and DTR was the quarterback and he kicked field goals when he never would have kicked a field goal. And part of that was having a kicker he could trust too. We saw him make these little adjustments and just figure out game to game, this is how we're going to have to win this game. We got to score a lot of points, or we know this is going to be low scoring, so we're going to take whatever points we can get. I think we've gotten to see Kevin grow as a coach over these 4 years and see him kind of mature. And we've seen him sort of here and there show his personality a little bit more too.
Yes, he's getting more and more comfortable in his own skin and in the job. But I was thinking about this as well. He learned things just from what he went through with Baker Mayfield when he had a shoulder injury in 2021. Remember, there were times when we all thought, why are you just not shutting this guy down? And I think they applied some of those mistakes to what went on with Deshaun this season. And even though they tried to get Deshaun out there and keep him out there as much as they possibly could, there were times where they knew they just had to give him the hook, like in that Indy game. I mean, it was pretty obvious then and at other points that they had to sit him down. So I think he learned from that as well. And this will go a long way, what he had to do with those four. I always say four quarterbacks because Jeff Driscoll started the season finale, but they had already clinched the playoffs by that point.
We don't have to count Jeff Driscoll.
We don't have to count that one.
It's kind of like counting the Indy start and Deshaun's win total. You have to fudge things a little bit.
Yes,
here and there.
You always have to put that asterisk by it. So for all intents and purposes, they got to the playoffs with four quarterbacks. That's pretty remarkable. It's why he earned NFL Coach of the Year over like a D'Amico Ryans. And I just think that he showed his coaching chops with that to be able to hold it all together. And I think that's been one of the hallmarks of Kevin Stefanski is just his ability to weather the storms and to weather the adversities. I mean, think about his first year with all of the COVID stuff. All of a sudden, you're looking at your guys on Zoom and you're not coaching and in person and everything that he's had to go through as a coach to this point, I think it's really, really helped him. And I also think it shows up, like, you know, you see a president and they've been in office for 4 years, they just look a little different at the end of the 4 years. You look exactly the same to me after these 4 years, but you're still getting carded at the UCLA cafeteria. But I think Kevin Stefanski has a little bit more salt in the salt and pepper beard. I think it's been a stressful 4 years.
Yeah, it is sort of like those pictures you see when the first day a guy takes office and the last day he takes office. Kevin definitely has a little bit of that look to him. You mentioned like pulling Deshaun in that game, and I'll never forget. Kevin is he kind of decides when he wants to be forthcoming about things and not. And it really stood out to me after that Indy game. He came out on Wednesday and said, like, one of the first things he said is, we're starting PJ Walker this week in Seattle. And that was just another example of him sort of understanding the moment and deciding that he was going to have control of a situation and take control of the situation. I think that's what stood out to me most about Kevin this year is he was really, this really became his football team, I felt like, in a lot of ways. Just hearing guys talk, the way he took him to the Greenbrier, all the things he did, the trip to LA, all that stuff. This felt like, I feel like we came out of this year knowing what a Kevin Stefanski team looks like, sounds like, feels like. He really kind of put his stamp on this team this year.
He did. And we did. We learned some things about him. One of the things that we learned about him is the fact like that he likes to get out on the road and take his team away, right? And just hunker down and bring everybody in. And And they're going to do that again this year. They want to duplicate some of that feeling. I mean, I just felt like we were on the road the whole entire season last year. I lived out of a suitcase. I'm still not unpacked from some of those trips. But, you know, they are enthusiastically raising their hand to go to Brazil. They're enthusiastically raising their hand to play in the Hall of Fame game again. They're going back down to the Green Bar. Who knows what else they might have planned. So that's one thing that we learned about him, is that he likes to bring his troops in close and have them become a tight-knit unit together with a lot of team bonding experiences.
And we should spend a little time on Andrew, too, since we talked about him getting an extension, obviously potentially getting an extension. So I think with Andrew, it's interesting because these guys don't work for, like, Kevin doesn't work for Andrew, and Andrew, like, they're separated, which has always been sort of, I know that's always made Browns fans uncomfortable, but it certainly worked in this sense. I think the biggest thing I picked up from Andrew is a willingness to kind of right mistakes. So he'll still be a little stubborn with his draft picks, but we've seen him, like with Cade York, John Johnson, Austin Hooper, we've seen him admit mistakes, move on, and try to fix them however he could. And we also got a question about him trading for wide receivers, right? So he struggled drafting wide receivers, so he's used to the trade market. I think that's the thing that has stood out to me about Andrew in these first 4 years.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many things about Andrew that we can cite and talk about, but you're right. He's willing to fix those mistakes, acknowledge them. In the beginning, I think we all thought that he clung a little too tightly to some of those draft picks and wouldn't give up on them when it seemed as though he should. But in the case of some of them, like with David Njoku, there was a little pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, right? So maybe there is a method to his madness. When they draft them as young as they're getting these guys, David was 20. Maybe you do have to give them that one extra year for the lights to come on. And if they don't come on, you let them go. I mean, he let Jordan Elliott go this year. He hung on to that one for as long as he could, hoping that he was going to turn into a really amazing defensive tackle. And he didn't see what he wanted to see to give him the multi-year contract this year. So he is willing to do that. That's good. And then the other thing is, I really think that he's made his mark in the trade world, and he understands and recognizes that there is tremendous value in trading for players who need a change of scenery, who need a contract extension, who need a new home, who need someone to believe in them. And he's found sort of a gold mine in that realm. And that's one of his fortes, to go out and to get those guys. We know that's how he's gotten Amari and Elijah, and that's how he's gotten Jerry Jeudy. His three starting receivers for this year in three receiver sets all came through trades. And there are a number of other guys, Dustin Hopkins, who turned out to be an amazing kicker for them last year, Za'Darius. So he's really very active in the trade market, more so than most general managers, and I think it has served him well.
Okay, speaking of the GM, let's move on to this question from Tom in Middlebury, Connecticut. Hey, Mary Kay, I don't see many positions where the Browns are substantially improved compared with the start of last season, and lots of current question marks. Give me a couple reasons to be optimistic heading into a tough schedule with so many players coming back from injury.
You know, we've talked about this a lot. We have talked about, have they done enough? And in fact, I had to write our newsletter last night, and the first question that I had about the Browns was, did they do enough to upgrade their defensive line? And I kind of don't think so. I think they ran it back too much on the defensive line without adding another impact player. Now, maybe Quinton Jefferson will come in and surprise us. He actually did have 6 sacks last season for the Jets, even though he missed, I think it was something like the final 4 games or something like that. So we'll have to see. Maybe he will be that ace in the hole. Maybe he will be the upgrade that they needed on that defensive line. But I would have spent some money. I would have swung for the fences. I would have made a big move on the defensive line. why not? It's Jim Schwartz's baby. They have a brand new defensive line coach. They have Myles Garrett that they need to support and surround with talent. So I would have done a little bit more there, but maybe they will prove me wrong. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. With all the quarterbacks that they have to face this season, I really felt that they should do whatever they could possibly do to upgrade that defensive line, to disrupt those quarterbacks, to get them off their mark, to get them rattled, to give them no time to throw that football, and to basically wreak havoc and wreck those offenses. And like I said, maybe they'll prove me wrong, and maybe it will be everything they hope it's going to be, but I feel like they should have done a little more.
It seems like what they told us with this free agency was, first, that the defense can repeat what they did last year, or close to it, and second, that they think having a healthy Deshaun Watson just changes everything. Because they weren't super aggressive in free agency. They added Jerry Jeudy via trade, and then they did pretty much run it back outside of, you know, they go with Jordan Hicks instead of Anthony Walker and Sione Takitaki. And of course, Devin Bush is there too. They add Quentin Jefferson, which I think is a nice addition. I think we'll talk about that one during the season. Naheem Hines, like little additions here and there that I think are going to be good, but nothing earth shattering. And so it kind of tells me that they probably believe in that building, that had they been healthy last year and had Deshaun Watson been healthy, they could have gone a lot farther than they did. They really believe in this roster with a healthy Deshaun Watson.
That has to be it. That absolutely has got to be it, because otherwise I think they probably would have looked at this and said, there's a lot of teams coming right up on our heels. There are a lot of good quarterbacks. There are look at just the Texans alone, right? If you get to the playoffs and you have to face those Texans again, that is a darn good football team and one that is continuing to get better. So hopefully they have done enough, and that, like you're saying, that they think that Deshaun and his presence is going to be the answer. But I don't know how you can count on that when you're not even sure how he's going to come back from the shoulder surgery. And I will tell you, I've been told by people that it's a bone, that the bone is going to heal in such a way that it sometimes could even be stronger than it was before. And I don't think that they envision any problems, hiccups, or setbacks in his return to the football field. So if they're right about that, then I suppose that they could be right about the fact that he will make the difference in their season. But on balance, like you said, the biggest thing they did was add Jerry Jeudy. And even though Jerry Jeudy in the right situation could become a Pro Bowl receiver, I still would have done a few more things. The rest of the guys are mostly just role players, not anybody that you are thinking, geez, they're lucky they got that guy, or we don't know how they would have gotten that position accomplished.
And by the way, I mean, the health bet, obviously, you've got to think this team isn't going to be ravaged as badly as they were last year. But somebody, I mean, they're going to lose guys. There's going to be at least one star player that they lose for a significant amount of time. And there's going to be some role players that they're going to lose for significant amounts of time. So even if they're healthier than last year, there's going to be somebody that is going to miss time that's going to hurt this team, and that they're going to have to scramble to replace. You know, it's not going to be, you know, knock on wood, four quarterbacks, five quarterbacks, whatever we want to say, but there will be injuries. There will be guys, they're going to lose somebody for the season that's going to be killer to lose. And like I said, they're going to lose other guys too. That's just the nature of football. So, you know, and when you're getting a little bit older on that defensive side, that's something you have to keep in mind.
Yeah. It's, in my mind, the one player that you cannot lose other than Deshaun Watson is, you really just can't lose Myles Garrett. You can't lose him for all or most of the season. And I feel like they've been, to this point, pretty darn lucky with that. And that could be in part because he plays hurt so often. I feel like he's gone out there and played with things that we don't even know the half of it, right? I mean, last year we watched him not be able to lift his arm, and then he's back out there playing again. So that's the one guy where you just have to hold your breath and hope that he can stay healthy. He's a freak of nature. So in a perfect world, they'll be able to get another 17 games out of him. But for the most part, other than that, I think they'll be okay because they have really good depth at almost every other position. Running back is important, is intriguing right now because we don't know what's going to happen there with Nick Chubb. And I think that was another one of, in my newsletter I wrote about the Nick Chubb question, because the truth of the matter is nobody knows exactly when he's going to be back and what he's going to look like when he does come back. So you really have to be prepared to accomplish the running game without him, I think, and anything that you get from him is going to be a bonus this year.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I still think this is just a theme for the last year on this podcast. I still think wide receiver is a little thin behind. You know, adding Judy helps, but I still think you lose. Obviously, look, if you lose Amari, that hurts. But beyond Amari, if you lose him or more, if you lose Judy or more, say, there's some questions there in that wide receiver room that would concern me if the wrong guy got hurt for a significant amount of time. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we will get to some more Hey Mary Kay questions.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome back to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, the Hey Mary Kay edition of the podcast here on a Friday. Okay, we were kind of kicking this around a little bit before we hit record. Mavro and Seabus. Hey, Mary Kay, just for fun, after 2 weeks of free agency, way too early predictions for final standings in the AFC North this season. You and I actually disagree a little bit about one team, the Bengals. I think I'm a little higher on the Bengals coming back than you are.
Well, I just have to wonder. I feel like Joe Burrow has relied so heavily on his trio of amazing receivers. Of course, we know Jamar and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. And T is unhappy. I mean, he wants out of there. He wants to be traded. And sometimes you can smooth those things over. Sometimes the money takes care of it and all is well. But if that doesn't happen, then I think they have to replace him in some way. And it's not easy to replace A.T. Higgins. So I have to wonder about that. I really feel like that's been a major reason why Joe has been so good, is because he's had those three guys around him. So we'll have to see how that one goes. And of course, Joe is coming off of injury again. And, you know, you never really know how those things are going to go. They have to keep him protected. And he doesn't play well against the Browns. The Browns have his number. So unless they find a way to change that up, I don't see that changing this season. So I don't know. I don't know if I would pick them to win the AFC North right now. Would you?
I think that's my lean. And I haven't quite figured out where to put the Browns. Like, I don't want to sit here on March 22nd and pick the Browns to win the AFC North, but you know, I could certainly be talked into it over the course of the next few months. So, I mean, I think they'll be in the running. If Deshaun Watson is healthy, they're going to be in the discussion to win the division. So I just need to kind of see where Deshaun is before I can really talk about them. But if we're talking about non-Browns teams, I don't know. There's just something about the Bengals that I still, you know, maybe it's Joe, you know, maybe I don't know. They keep trying to shore up that offensive line. They've done an okay job of it. I do worry about the receiver position. I think you're right about that, because obviously if T. Higgins doesn't come back somehow, Tyler Boyd is a free agent. I do wonder, though, if a few months from now something's going to budge with T. Higgins and they get a deal done and everybody, you know, is singing Kumbaya at training camp. So I don't know. I'm still bullish on the Bengals. I actually feel better about them for whatever reason than the Ravens right now. The Ravens have lost some pieces. I think the Ravens will still be good because they're the Ravens and they have Lamar. And of course they're going to be good. But I think if I had to choose between those two, I might lean Cincinnati.
Well, there are interesting running back storylines in the AFC North, which is, of course, a place where you need to be able to run the football. So Joe Mixon is gone from the Bengals. Zach Moss is in his place. And then, of course, over in Baltimore, you've got Derrick Henry. So that's going to be interesting. And then in Cleveland, we don't know exactly how that's all going to go. I have to really wonder if Nick is going to be back in the first quarter of the season. Maybe he will be. I don't know. I don't have any intel on that. Maybe we'll know more when we go to the owners' meetings and we talk to Kevin and we talk to Andrew there in small group settings. We talk to the Haslams. Maybe we'll get a better feel for it. But if he's not there in the beginning of the season, he's different. He's different than Jerome Ford. I mean, he's just a different cat. So we'll have to see how that goes. It's going to be just a different running game landscape in the division this year. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And the Ravens are going to be just as usual. The Ravens are going to be this weird looking offense again because they have Derrick Henry. I wonder how that's going to look. I mean, I think he's still got something left. And then when Mark Andrews went out, all of a sudden they figured it out with Isaiah Likely. So now they've got like two legitimate tight end receiving threats, plus Lamar, plus Derrick Henry. You know, we'll see what they do on the outside. You know, I liked Zay Flowers. We'll see what Rashad Bateman can do. They're getting a little thin at wide receiver. They still have to make a move there. But I don't know. The Ravens are just kind of always the Ravens. And I trust Joe Burrow. I mean, the wild card in all of this, right, is Pittsburgh. If they figure something out with one of these two quarterbacks, then that could be something in this division.
It could be. We have no idea how those quarterbacks are going to fare under Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh, what they're going to do at wide receiver. They traded. Did they trade Deontay Johnson?
They did. They traded him to Carolina, I think.
Yeah, they traded him. So they're in a state of flux. They are in a state of flux. But even when they're in a state of flux, because of the strength of their defense, somehow they managed to get the job done. And when you've got Cam Hayward and you've got TJ Watt and now you've got Patrick Queen, they get the job done and they make things difficult. So the AFC North is going to be very interesting. And if I had to pick it right now, I couldn't do it. Like you, I wouldn't feel comfortable picking against the Browns to win the AFC North. I don't know that I'd feel super confident picking them to win the AFC North right now. If I had to pick today, I probably would still go with the Ravens. But again, things are changing over there. And I think it's anybody's ballgame.
Yeah, and part of it too is I'm still getting a feel for some of these rosters and how they've shaken out. So, you know, that's part of it. There's the draft coming up. You know, so there's still so much to figure out with these teams and how they're going to look once they actually get to training camps in July. But this division is still going to be one of the best in football, that's for sure, especially if Deshaun Watson and the Browns are trending more towards what their ceiling could be. Then it gets really, really interesting in the North. Okay, question from Jeff Sapisi in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Hey, Mary Kay, after 5 years of free agency under Andrew Berry, has the Browns' approach changed or remained pretty constant since 2020?
I think it's changed. When they first got here in 2020, they had to restock the roster. So they were much more aggressive in free agency in terms of pursuing and going after those big name guys. They didn't always get the biggest name guy that they wanted, but they always went after them. You know, we always heard later that they tried to get Javon Hargrave like they did last year. And almost every year we knew that they were going after some of these big, big name guys. And in previous years, they added some every year. They added the big number, big name players. And, you know, JJ3 and even last year, when you look at last year, it was Za'Darius and Dalvin Tomlinson and Juan Thornhill. And they traded for Elijah Moore. They made more big moves in previous years. I think this year, they not that they stood pat, but they felt a lot better about their roster. They didn't feel like they needed to use free agency or the early trade window to restock a lot of positions. They needed to acquire some role players. They needed to fill a few holes, but you know, they didn't need to go out and find four starters. And in previous years, they went out and got themselves four, sometimes five starters. So I think that's the major difference.
Yeah, there were such obvious needs, you know, when they went and signed Jack Conklin and Austin Hooper and, you know, spent big money there, John Johnson, like you mentioned, and then they had to replace him with Juan Thornhill. There were just obvious needs. Last year with Dalvin, they needed to invest in if you're going to hire Jim Schwartz, you better invest in your defensive line. So they had to do that. So now they just, I think Andrew deep down inside, he wants to have as complete a roster as possible before the draft. So he's going to use free agency to do that. But I do wonder if those first few years were a little bit out of character for what he's ultimately going to be as a GM. I think he'll always be aggressive and he'll always spend. But I wonder if always being a guy that makes a big splash like that, I don't know if he necessarily, I think he wants to be able to draft and develop and grow guys into the roster more than just go out and sign the shiniest objects in free agency.
Yeah, and over the last couple of years, they haven't had the first-round picks either. So most teams set their sights on a player that's going to come in as a rookie and make a difference right away. And the Browns haven't had that. So they've had to go out and find a couple of players each year that could come in and start for them. And again, in some years, it's been four new starters, five new starters by the time all the dust settles on the first wave of free agency, you're looking at upheaval in the roster. And it's not like that right now. I mean, at this moment, I would say that Jerry Jeudy is the only guy that I look at, right, as being the only bona fide surefire starter that they acquired. Except for, I mean, maybe Quentin Jefferson will be a starter. I mean, we know he'll be part of the rotation. And I'm not talking about their own guys that they brought back like Z, but from the new guys that they brought in, I think it's Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. I was trying to think while you were saying that. I mean, Quentin Jefferson is the only other one you can make a case for, but we don't know what that rotation is going to look like. So yeah, I think you're right. I don't think we're forgetting anybody if we say that. Okay. Mm-hmm. There we go. Our Hey Mary Kay edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast here on a Friday. Those questions came from our Football Insider subscribers, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. Mary Kay mentioned that newsletter she wrote. If you're like, how do I get that newsletter? Well, that's how you become a Football Insider subscriber. I'm writing Saturdays. Ashley is writing Sundays. We do it on a rotation. So it's something that doesn't show up anywhere else on cleveland.com. So check that out. Also find us on Instagram, Orange and Brown Talk, on YouTube, Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com, and get subscribed to this podcast if you aren't already on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Mary Kay, I'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.